Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. We're going to talk about structures. We're going to talk about what works. We're going to talk about what doesn't work, what the kingdom is and what the kingdom is not, because modern Christians mostly don't have a clue. They got little forms of godliness, but they deny the very gospel of the kingdom. That's what it was called, the gospel of the kingdom. They twist and turn the epistles of Paul, even the gospels themselves. They deny the gospel of Christ. Someone sent me something this morning about Paul, that it actually said that the apostles were halted in their ministry because the Jews didn't accept Christ. For one thing, thousands of Jews, thousands in one day, accepted Christ as their king and knew that when they got the baptism of Jesus Christ, they would be cast out of the welfare system of the Pharisees. That's what it says in John. The parents of the blind men were afraid to even mention that they thought that maybe Christ does have a point, because they knew that if they mentioned Christ or claimed him as Christ, Jesus as Christ, as the anointed, as the Messiah, as the king, as this blind man was saying, he believed in Jesus being the king because he had healed him. And they said that they knew that the Pharisees had already said that anybody who got the baptism of Jesus Christ instead of the baptism of Herod would be cast out. This was the distinction between a Christian, a believer, a follower of Christ, of Jesus, and those that didn't. And the parents of the blind man were afraid to speak up and said that he can speak for himself. He's been blind since birth, but he doesn't have any skills or jobs. But we don't care. We don't want to get kicked out of the system. On Pentecost, thousands were willing to get kicked out of that system of social welfare, that Corbin of the Pharisees that made the word of God to none effect. You show me Christians that are willing to get kicked out of that, and I'll show you real Christians. You show me Christians who are not willing, I'll show you Christians who don't believe. Who don't believe in what Christ was saying. Paul, when he wrote his book to the Romans, he was writing to men who believed and did not go to the free bread handouts of the Caesars of the world, because their kingdom was no longer of the world. Their kingdom was of Christ. Their social welfare, their religion was of Christ. We talked before about the fact that in North Africa, later on, the emperor made it illegal to be a part of any non-public religion, a foreign religion. And they would be persecuted and they were burned because they would not apply for the benefits of Caesar and his public religions. But Christians today, they eat heartily at those troughs of public religions of Corbin, of the Pharisees that made the word of God to none effect. But they got nice music in their churches. They just don't believe in Jesus. They believe in their Berean call, false ministries. They believe in their music. They believe in their twisted interpretation of Paul that takes Paul out of the context of Paul. We've already done Colossians and Ephesians. We have recordings. If you get on the network, people will show you where they are. But we're going through Romans now, verse by verse. And we're putting Paul back into the context of Christ. Back in the context of the gospel of Christ. He says he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, that he is a believer in the gospel of Christ, the gospel of God, the gospel of the Son of God. But people tell me, oh, well, Paul says that we're just this way. And I said, but Jesus said it was this way. And he says, yeah, but that was before he was crucified. He didn't know he was wrong before that. Jesus knew from the beginning, I'm going to take the kingdom away from the Pharisees who aren't bearing fruit with their mumbo jumbo. And I'm going to give it to those who do bear fruit. Well, today, the modern Christian is full of mumbo jumbo again. They don't really believe in Jesus. They believe in part of Paul instead of all of Paul, which is the whole truth. So anyway, I didn't know I was going to be so hard on you right off to start with. But anyway, we're actually going to be talking about one of these structures, this system that you would have been kicked out of if you actually believed in Jesus Christ at the time of Christ. It was the system of Corban. But we're going to focus on one particular article, which is Not So Secure Socialism. If you go to the website at hisholychurch.org, you'll find that article in the outline section, which you can go to at hisholychurch.org/outline. And you can read along with me when we go over that. And before we started, I'm going to give you a definition of socialism. Socialism is a theory or system of social organization that advocates the vesting of the ownership and control of the means of production and distribution of capital, land, etc., in the community as a whole. It's a common purse. And the Bible tells us that the common purse runs towards death, towards evil, towards wickedness. Runs towards it. Says, consent not with them when they want to have all the property and means of distribution and capital in one purse. Don't go that way. God didn't change his mind about that. That's still a precept. Paul would agree with me. Jesus agrees with Moses. Moses agrees with this, that you shouldn't have this one purse. It is the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's based on coveting your neighbor's goods. You are not restored to the milk and honey if it's owned communally and communistically. It said that the early church owned all things in common. You misinterpret that by taking it out of the context of who the church was. The ministers owned things in common, because the ministers owned nothing but what was owned by Christ, but they were there to return every man to his family and every man to his possessions. What was given to the church in order to take care of the needy of their society was not in a common treasury, but a common fund held individually by every minister. They didn't create a central bank. And so what went in, if there was a greater need over in this congregation than there was in the congregation that gave the contributions, that money could be moved over by the will of that minister to that other congregation. There wasn't anybody coming down. Peter wasn't coming down and saying, okay, you guys have to give your money over here. The people chose to give money to a minister. That minister held that money that they chose to give to him, and they chose to give to him because they trusted him. And they only gave him what he was going to need right now. And if there was a greater need somewhere else, he would tell them, connected through this network of congregations, because they were preaching kingdom, not just congregations. Yes, everybody was a member of a congregation in the sense that they freely assembled under the perfect law of liberty. But if there was a greater need in Assyria, or a greater need in Jerusalem, or a greater need in Rome, the news would travel through this network and they would say, there's a greater need, and people would give free will offerings. They ran their whole government of God through the church that way. Not to a central treasury and then somebody trickled it down from some big bank somewhere in Europe. But that you were the bank. Every elder of every congregation was the treasure of the kingdom. And they kept their money in their pocket till it was needed and had an efficient. The union and discipline of the early Christians was praised by men like Edward Gibbons, who wrote The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, because they were well organized and they were a well social organization, a system, but not with everybody owning each other's stuff, but everybody willing to share through charity. If you were doing that, you would not be having the trouble that you're having today in whatever country you're in. And I say that across the board. Even if you were on Skid Row, your life would be better if you were following these kingdom principles. And the more virtuous you became, the better it would be. But you haven't been virtuous for a long time. You've been coveting your neighbor's goods through socialism. And you need to repent. You are in need of repentance. So we begin this article, Not So Secure Socialism. The United States Supreme Court in 1937 validated Social Security as an exercise of constitutional taxing powers of Congress for the benefit of the general fund of the United States Treasury. The Supreme Court also said that, quote, Congress could, in its future discretion, spend that money for whatever Congress then judged to be the general welfare of the country. Unquote. Got that? They don't have to spend it on you. They can spend it on anything they want. Been that way since 1937. Didn't read the fine print of the contract? Too bad for you. Goes on, having no constitutional power to earmark or segregate certain kinds of tax proceeds for certain purposes, whether the purpose be farm price supports, foreign aid, or Social Security payments. No earmarking. It ain't your money. You gave it up. It was your contribution to the priests of your religion, because it's how you were going to take care of the needy of your society. When you signed up, you became a member. You were baptized into their religion. And now you must contribute according to the rules of their religion. If you were baptized by the apostles and by the church established by Jesus Christ, you must pay in what your conscience tells you to pay in. Because when you gather in your congregations, that is your Congress. And it's not democratic either. So that if you decide not to give, you don't have to give. It's between you and God. You're a free soul under God. Now, if you've gone and done something else, you may not be a free soul under God anymore. You got to realize protection draws to it subjection and subjection protection. You are back in the bondage of Egypt. Too bad. Get used to it. Boy, I'm a meanie today. But anyway, you've got to hear this. I'm John the Baptist today, evidently, and I'm going to be telling you what you didn't want to hear, so that you will learn to hear the truth. At the time of the introduction of Social Security Act to Congress and the American people, quote, the president wanted everybody covered for every contingency of life, cradle to grave. He called it the social insurance system. But the government of the United States is not an insurance company, and so it could be done. Not an insurance company. Who said all that? Who was that a quote of? That's the foreword by Frances Perkins. It's actually a woman. Frances Perkins, Secretary of Labor, 1933 to 1945, the development of Social Security Act by Edwin E. Whitt, page 7. So you can look that up. Edwin Whitt was the guy who devised the system. This is out of his book. Okay? He's telling you it was sold as if it was insurance, but it was not. The United States government is not an insurance company. People talk about privatizing Social Security insurance. It isn't insurance. It is public religion. It is not joining it was why Christians were burned in North Africa, and we'll get into that eventually. We'll show you this is why Christians were persecuted. They had their own system that operated through faith, hope, and charity. If you don't, you ain't a Christian. Now, I know that you can't just get out of the system in most cases. But you need to repent and realize that what you've done is making the word of God to none effect, because you're taking care of one another by praying to the benefactors, the men who call themselves benefactors and not really benefactors, but exercise authority one over the other. Yeah, I harp on this all the time, but I'm going to give you some more information. I'm going to give you some more evidence of your sin so that you get the chance to repent, so that you might be saved. Because the fact that you think you're saved ain't enough. Got it? You can't save yourself by thinking. You got to believe in your heart and in your mind. But you've been given over to a reprobate mind because you've been coveting your neighbor's goods, because you've been slothful. And a strong delusion has come in, and a lot of lying preachers have deceived you. Now, those preachers could be saved too if they would repent. I'm waiting for that day too. While the system of federal Social Security was sold as if it were insurance, again, I'm quoting Whitt, it was not. There is a great deception, a strong delusion that Social Security taxes are payment of insurance premiums to obtain specified benefits at a specified time. There is no such right. No such right. It's been ruled by the Supreme Court not only in 1937, but in 1960. According to the Social Security Act, the government has been under no contractual obligation to make any return payments from the very beginning, and has carried the provision that the right to alter, amend, and repeal any provision of this act is hereby reserved to the Congress. Those are the high priests of your religion. It's not pure religion, but it's your religion. Okay? You know, you can read this in the Social Security Act 1935, Title 11, General Provisions, Section 1104. Go read it. You didn't read the contract? Oh my gosh, you're signing contracts and you're not reading them. If that isn't bad business. But it's your business, and now I'm giving you the business. So anyway, yeah, I'm being strong about this, because you need to hear this. You have screwed up royal. You are earning the wages of sin. Now, I know deep down in some of your hearts you want to repent, and I know you think this is a little overwhelming. You don't just do this overnight. It's a process. First you got to admit you made a mistake. You went down the wrong way. You forgot to ask directions. You men and your wives should have been reminding them. You need to ask directions, honey. Cause you got the wrong information from your church you've been tithing to. They've been lying to you and delivered you into bondage, and Egypt is about to fall. you're in a lot of trouble. You're going over the fiscal cliff. And you've got nobody but false, apostate, pharisaical preachers to back you up. And they don't really love you. But Christ loves you. And so he sent me to tell you, repent, turn around, go the other way. And that's what I hope you will begin to do. So anyway, we're talking about this. According to the Social Security Act, the government has been under no contractual obligation to make any return payment from the very beginning and has carried the provision that the right to alter and amend and appeal any provision of this act is hereby reserved to Congress, period. Therefore, quote, Congress could continue to collect the so-called Social Security payroll taxes even though Congress discontinued all Social Security benefit payments. Why do you think they're building FEMA camps? And somebody just sent me an email that they actually was a program on TV where they gave a tour of one of the FEMA camps. I've got somebody out here that I know where there's a place not very far away that was a government installation and they shut it all down. But then I saw it was on auction. It was up for sale. It wasn't very far away from here. And it was up for sale. And I don't know, it was millions of dollars or whatever. And, you know, it had all these facilities, but the government wasn't using it anymore as part of the backscatter deal. And he said that somebody got a contract to go in there. I used to know the security people. Got a contract to go in there and take all the razor wire that was on the top to keep people from crawling into this backscatter. And they've turned it all around so it now faces inside. That's for your protection. So anyway, now, you know, you can go on to the Halliburton website. And I don't want to start all this. I don't want you talking about conspiracy theories when you gather together in church, in homes, and to do the work of Christ. I wanted you to start talking about what you're supposed to be doing. But it's interesting to know that Halliburton, on their own website, they got, I think it was $360 million at one time, and they've probably gotten more since, to build internment camps, you know, refugee camps, whatever you call them. But it's for refugees, also for illegal aliens and dissidents. And when I read that, it actually said the word dissidents. I thought, what's a dissident? Is that somebody who doesn't believe in the religion of Social Security? Oh my gosh, you're a dissident. You know, Herb Belafonte the other day called the president that needed to start arresting Republicans and putting in prison for being Republicans, which is, personally, I think a lot of Republicans are criminal, but I think a lot of Democrats are criminal too. I think anyone who doesn't obey the Ten Commandments and stop coveting your neighbor's goods, I think you're all criminals. But I'm not here to send you to jail. I don't want to send you to jail. I want to keep you out of jail. I want to make you free. But you got to repent. I'm sorry. If you don't forgive, and you will not be forgiven. If you don't repent, you might not be saved. So anyway, so they can cut all payments off. They don't have to pay you any more at all. This is from a book, The Social Security Tax by Clarence E. Mannion. They don't have to give you anything. And you need to know that. This may seem a little scary for some of you who are or maybe dependent upon such payments. But that is exactly what you should expect as the nations and the world economic systems continue to decline. That's where you're going. And we'll talk more about this and the solution to the problem when we come back to Keys of the Kingdom.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We're talking about the not-so-secure Social Security, and we're showing you that they don't have to pay you anything, but you may have to keep paying them. And the fact is, the reason why is because you signed up. You agreed. And the fact, and people say it wasn't full disclosure. They wrote this down way back in 1930s. You could have read it, but you didn't read it. You didn't go to your ministers and say, did you read it? And if you did, I'll bet you didn't. Actually, I know of a minister that lived back then that said that getting the Social Security number was the mark of the beast. It was a mark of lack of faith. You remember the mark of the beast? There was a mark of God they talked about in the Old Testament. And it was the tav. And the tav is the symbol of faith in the Hebrew language. And so the mark of God was faith. And so therefore the mark of the Antichrist, anti-God, the beast, is what? Lack of faith. It's your lack of faith. And it may come in several forms, but at least one of them is your lack of faith that you need to pray to men who call themselves benefactors, but simply give you what they take away from their neighbors so that through covetousness you will be made merchandise or human resources. I mean, it's just on and on everywhere in the Bible. What agreement do you have with unbelievers who don't believe in God? I mean, you send your kids to schools that say you can't talk about God. You send your kids to schools that are only in existence because they force your neighbor to pay for your child's education. You don't pay enough taxes, property taxes, to pay for that child's education. It's at least $6,000 per child. In some places, it's over $20,000 per child. So who's making up the difference? Your neighbor? Why is he doing that? Because the men who call themselves benefactors will come and take his house away if he doesn't. That's called coveting your neighbor's goods through the men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other, which Christ said it was not to be that way with you. So don't give me this, you don't want socialism. You've wanted socialism for 100 years in this country. You just didn't want so much. Maybe. And those of you who want a lot, well, you're just progressives. Well, I'm a progressive. I'm just progressing the other way. I'm progressing towards Christ. You're progressing towards Satan and the beast. What's the beast? It's what goes around and eats the flesh of your neighbor and your neighbor's children and your neighbor's children's children. Because people say, well, Social Security is solvent. It's not in debt. There is no division of the funds. There is no earmarking. From the beginning, there was no earmarking. It is not a sacred trust that is separate from the rest of the general fund. They pretended it is, but the rule says it is not. So if there's $100 extra in there and you're $10,000 in debt over on the other side of the same books, guess what? There isn't any funds there. The only reason there's funds there is because they're borrowing funds over here. They're taking blood out of your left arm and they're putting it in your right arm, but they're drinking some of it on its way over because they're a bunch of vampires. They're a blood-sucking beast. There are werewolves and there are vampires and you're all a bunch of zombies. Wake up. You have gone the wrong way. You are progressing towards hell. You are progressing towards the fiscal cliff. Repent. Turn around. Go the other way. I know, like I said, this is scary. But there's an answer. And we're going to get to that if I keep going here. According to Dr. Clarence E. Mannion, the Supreme Court held that Congress can tax payments and earnings of employees and employees in the same way that it can tax a bottle of whiskey or a ticket to a ball game. Why? Because you're human resources, you're merchandise, you're collateral for the debt on the other side of the books. You are the resources they're depending on to pay that debt, except they don't want you to pay that debt because they want you to be enslaved. They want to own you so that when you step out of line, they can smack you. You know, I always remember when Phnom Penh was invaded by the socialist communists and they marched them all out of the city across there to their FEMA camps. That, you know, where people march, 3 million people marching down the road, kids with machine guns keeping them in line. You step out of line, you get machine gunned down. You stay in line, you fall down, people walk over you. And they said there were people in the road as flat as a pancake because another million people stepped on them walking over. And they didn't dare step out because kids with machine guns would shoot them. And you want to give up your guns? You think that can't happen here? I mean, they're building the camps. they got You could go online at Halliburton's website and they tell you how much money they got for building them. And the fact is, they already got the biggest prison system in the world. And they got enough resources to build more. They got you. You could build more. Yeah, another wing on while you're there. Now, how are they going to get you there? They're just going to go round up house to house? No, they're going to create some sort of, you know, terrible event. And, you know, and people will turn in each other because they don't love each other. You need to find people with character. You need to find people with virtue. You don't look for people who want to be free. Don't look for people who don't want to pay their taxes. They don't want to pay. They don't want to help anybody out. They don't want to pay in. And they're always screaming about their benefits. Get away from those people. They're backbiters. They'll betray you anyway. Find people who actually care. I'm only being hard on you because I actually care. You know, I can stand here and talk to you and I can see your children starving. I can see your grandchildren never being born, withered and dead. Because this is where they want to take you. These useful idiots, they don't even know where they're going. There's a cognitive dissonance. We talk about that. Cognitive dissonance, that able to hold two ideas in your mind at the same time that are conflicting. And the dissonance is the discomfort that they cause because they actually conflict. That's bad. But I'll tell you what's worse. Cognitive disconnect. Cognitive disconnect is when you can hold two ideas in your mind at the same time that are contrary to each other and you don't feel uncomfortable. That you feel comfortable with it. How can you do that? It's because the place where you feel that discomfort is a dark room in your heart you never go in. You've been given over to a reprobate mind. Paul talks about it in Romans, first chapter of Romans, being given over to a reprobate mind. And the cause is that you are unforgiving. You are selfish because you were traumatized by selfish people when you were a child and you didn't forgive them. And so it's making you selfish today. You need to repent of that. Are you nothing but a bottle of whiskey? Is your family nothing but a bottle of whiskey? A human? Is your wife nothing but a bottle of whiskey? That you can tax her presence there? Put her in such jeopardy by not making provisions for what you know is coming? A man in his naturally endowed rights to his labor was not originally the same as a bottle of whiskey, nor a ball of twine. The idea of a people laboring for a portion of each day without pay and laboring for the government is as old as the pyramids themselves. It is known by many names, such as statutory labor or corvi or tribute. But it is still bondage, no matter what you call it. The word corvée is a French word which can mean gratuitous labor exacted from villages or communities, especially for repairing roads, constructing bridges, etc. Public works. In the Latin, the word be covata or corgare, meaning to gather by request. Webster says, it is the obligation on the inhabitants of a district to perform services or forced labor exacted by government. Do they have the right to exact that labor? If you have been coveting your neighbor's goods, and you go back to Proverbs where they talk about that one purse, it says you will be snared in the very net of your own making. and it will be your blood that will be exacted. They tell you that. My gosh, Paul tells you what should have been for your welfare will become a snare because you eat at the table of kings and you don't put your knife to your throat, as Proverbs says, as King David said. They tell you this over and over again. It's only your modern ministers that got you singing in your churches so you don't really hear. You need to turn around and go the other way. Start coming together and loving one another for a change instead of coveting one another's goods. That's all the entertainment I'm doing for you. Wake up, folks. When I clap my hands, wake up. You know, when I bang my gavel, wake up. You're in a lot of trouble. You're headed over the fiscal cliff. And they are planning to catch you completely off guard. And if you were listening to Christ instead of this cognitive disconnect, you would know this. Now, I don't want all you survivalists to be running to us. You better be coming to serve one another. Somebody asked me the other day, what do we use as a filter to know who we will help? Christ is our filter. Not those who say, Lord, Lord, but those who doeth the will of the Father. Christ told you. Are you actually looking for the lost sheep? Are you coming together with others? We had a small little band of sheep when we were teaching. We were showing Justin, who's here learning the ministry, and I was showing them this sheep that went up on the hill. They had formed their own little congregation. The same thing's going on in the network at the same time, but they had formed their own little congregation. They came together, but only with their little congregation. They went up on the hill. There's actually a wolf that's been traveling underneath that rim up on the hill. I've seen the tracks, huge. Somebody else actually seen them. Huge wolf. We put a dead sheep up there. It was gone the next day. There wasn't even hardly a tuft of wool left on the branches. Just devoured it. Just gone. And these sheep, they're going to form their own little congregation. They're going to go up on the hill. They come together in a little group. It's like four blackface sheep. Their blackface sheep are farm flocks. They've been farm flocks for centuries. They don't know the range. They were lambs, but they were grown up, and they thought they knew what they were doing. We'd go up there and bring them back. Well, we sold all them. We didn't keep any of those. They've gone to that great butcher shop in the sky. And that's where you're headed if you don't repent and turn around. Come down off that hill, that high and mighty hill of false religion, and turn around and repent. To take man's labor without consent falls within the broad definition of slavery. Neither the president nor the Congress had the power to compel a free people to begin to labor without pay. They could not force the entire population into becoming tax collectors and serfs or taskmasters and statute laborers without some form of consent. And of course, you guys gave it to them. Like all these systems that begin as a request, they end a forced obligation. And that's the way you're going. That's the way it is. And that's the way you've gone. I'm sorry to tell you, but they said a strong delusion would come. Don't wait for it. It's here. Begin as a request, but end as a forced obligation. That's the nature of the beast. The Romans had a corvée system in their protected provinces and eventually throughout the whole of the empire. They maintained public works by this. The people talk about slavery. Well, you know, if you look up the laws in Clark Summer, U.S. American Law, you look up employee, it will say in the index, it'll tell you, go see master servant, because that's what an employee is. You sell your labor, you know. I mean, among the ball players, you see that they get sold to this group or that group, you know, this team or that team. They sell you and you're sold. Now, you can quit that job and go get another job, but no matter what job you get, you're a federal employee, and you have to show them your federal employee identification number. I was always amazed at Russo and some of these guys, the 860, was it 868, 861 law, they're saying, well, look, the income tax is only for federal employees. Well, you got a federal employee identification number. Look, you owe the tax. I don't want to argue with you about that. You go read employee versus enslaved and see how the whole system works. But the point is that when you got that Social Security number, that is also called a federal employee identification number, and you're in the system. You can say, oh, I didn't know, and full disclosure and fraud and all this stuff, but they wrote it all out. You're just too lazy to look it up. But you're in. You got your free education. You've been promised your benefits by liars, and you're not going to get them, and you're going to get something else, and that's all there is to it. I'm talking about the solution. How do you turn around and go the other way? Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be provided for you. He didn't say, run for it. And Moses didn't take you out of the edge of the desert and say, run for it. So now let's get into understanding the problem enough that we can actually fix it in our hearts and in our minds. Because if you're not going to go the way of virtue, you're going to go the way of death. That's your choices. You know, cake or death. Faith or death. One or the other. The Jews often opposed this because it was like a system of bondage that was in Egypt. But God told the people never to return to that bondage, and the fact is everybody has. Some of the citizens of Judea had appealed to the Roman commander-in-chief, Pompey, for protection way back then when they were having a civil war, and of course he came, and they ended up with the Romans for some time, but the Romans didn't conquer them. They were invited in to provide certain services of protection, and like I said at the beginning, protection draws subjection, and it got worse, and we can't get into all that, or we won't ever get to the end of this article, but it's covered in the article. We talk about a pure republic. Rome used to be a fairly pure republic. By the time Christ, it was no longer a republic, but it was an empire. They talked about a return to the republic, but they never go back. One, you know, it's old wineskins, and it's all rotten and corrupted, and it was going to collapse. So Christ was appointing a new kingdom. Somebody told me today that, you know, that the apostles failed, and so Christ pulled out Paul out of the hat, and then Paul goes and preaches a new gospel. I don't know where they get this stuff. Apostles didn't fail. They were all over the place. Paul was a brother to them, but it wasn't. They didn't fail. Thousands were becoming Christians all over, including Gentiles. The Jews didn't reject him. Some did, but it's not a democracy. It doesn't care if 90% of the Jews rejected Christ. We know that in Jerusalem, thousands in one day, thousands in the next day accepted Christ and were going his way. I'm just waiting for the modern Christians to finally really accept Christ and do what he says. But they're not. They're doing the exact opposite of what he says. All governments expand their power or influence over the people in schemes which offer gifts, gratuities, and benefits. That's the way they work. The greatest destroyers of freedom have always been the givers of gifts, gratuities, and benefits. And when what they will contribute to, whom and for what purposes, becomes the province of government and the will of the people who are the rulers in that government, your Congress, you're in bondage. They are your benefactors who exercise authority, and you've gone that way. It's not a new thing. It you know, at the turn of the century, back the last century, not this century, most schools were private schools. The minority was educated in public schools. Public schools were not the majority around. Most people were educated outside of public schools in a variety of sources of education. And they had high degree of literacy. And that's just the way it was. But in the early 1900s, they started having more and more public schools, but then they also started having Social Security, and they also started having these Federal Reserve notes, you know, and creating the largest trust in the history of the world, according to Charles A. Lindbergh, with their Federal Reserve system. You didn't have to go that way. You could have created your own society that did not enter into the ways of Cain and diverse weights and unjust weights and measures and public education, coveting your neighbor's goods. And you could have stayed on the true, but you became so high and mighty and so vain that you thought you knew. And you had these churches saying, you're saved, and you're wonderful, and you're a Baptist, and you're a Methodist, and you're Episcopalian. But you weren't doing what Christ said. This has been a long time coming. You're not going to change this overnight. But you got to turn around. If you go read our article on Corbyn. Corbyn was the welfare system of Israel. Always was. Corbyn means sacrifice. And it also has to do with drawing near God, because you come to sacrifice yourself. No greater love has a man than he lays down his life for his fellow man. And that Corbyn was a daily laying down of your life, a little bit of your life here, a little bit of your life there, to take care of the widows and orphans and the truly needy of your society. That was Corbyn. And you gave it to the ministers of your choice, and they provided the welfare of society through free will offerings. That changes the nature of society. But the Corbyn of the Pharisees was, you got baptized and you had to pay in, and scribes kept track to how much you paid in. If you didn't pay in your fair share, according to the Sanhedrin, the Congress of its day, you could be fined. You could be punished because you had a contractual relationship with your government. You have made a covenant with them to get these benefits. But that makes the word of God to none effect. Back then, Herod was baptizing people in water by his ministers, and it was the baptism to enter the kingdom of God. But John the Baptist wasn't at the laver of the temple anymore. He was out there in the desert baptizing people in the Jordan River. And they said, well, John, how's this work? He says, if you got two coats and your neighbor doesn't have one, you share. You share. You do charity. That's why Christ talks charity. That's why he talks love. The word he uses for love is translated charity when Paul uses it, because Paul's preaching Christ's gospel, but the translators like to put the word charity in Paul's mouth and the word love in Jesus' mouth. The same Greek word in both cases. It's not love to ask a man to go to your neighbor's house and force him to contribute so you can have free education. That's not love. That doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. That you threaten to take your neighbor's home away from him if he will not buy a new swimming pool down at the school for your kid. That's not love. That's covetousness. That's a violation of the law of God that he wants to write in your heart. But you won't let him write that in your heart. You'd rather covet to get the benefit. And you think you're saved? You're not saved. You don't even know Jesus. You're a worker of iniquity. And we're going to have to spend another hour on this, because there's so much you don't know. Let's talk about the riots in Judea, because they pilfered the Social Security fund. When we come back to Keys of the Kingdom. Till then, may peace be upon your house. Sorry I'm so hard on you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net. Thank you.
Thank you.